Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome in. This is Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley, and a very special Coffee Break it is, because this is Halloween, and that means it's time for our annual ghost hunt here on KCAP. If you missed any of the three parts of our show during the last few hours of Montana's Morning News, you're in luck, because now we've got for you the complete, the unabridged 2019 ghost hunt. Welcome into year three of what has turned into a KCAP Halloween tradition. Yeah, it's the ghost show. This year, though, a little bit different. The man at the center of our investigations over the previous 2 years was Michael Sweet. He got us into our first location, in fact, when we checked out St. John's. He was quick to agree to join us last year again when we made the trip up the road to Marysville. Well, Michael sadly passed away earlier this year. I'm glad to say that we became friends since that first Halloween adventure, and he was as good a person as you'll ever meet. Really great guy. And it felt different trying to plan something without him this time around. So ultimately, I decided to do something a little bit different this year. We're going to first start with a bit of a look back at the last 2 years, a best of show, so to speak, because we've definitely caught some unexplainable stuff. So first the old, and then a little bit of the new. This year, it's a bit stripped down. It's basic. Michael was a drummer, so in musical terms, we're doing an acoustic set this morning. No fancy gadgets, no big team, no haunted former hospital or current bar. This year, it's two guys in a private residence having a conversation and seeing who or what else is also there unseen. Now, this is an old house. It's a house that's been around for 130 years, in fact, and has a history of bumps in the night, mornings and afternoons, too, actually. But it's back to basics in 2019. One evening, one house, and a couple of recorders. What, if anything, did we find? Well, stick around for part three to find out. But to start us off, it's back to 2017 and the old St. John's Nursing Home.
We're granted access to the third floor of the St. John's building, Helena's one-time hospital, now managed by Rocky Mountain Care Center. Leading our little late-night party, Helena's Michael Sweet, a medium and founder of Sweet Spot Paranormal. Also with us, investigator Tom Poliant Jr. and photographer John Lynch. Well, I don't know it at the time, just 51 seconds into my audio recording. Well, listen for yourself.
Were you a patient in this hospital?
Did you catch it? After Michael asks his question, some silence, and then... the door to this room where patients were bathed 40 years ago is shut. There are three men in the room. There's no women in the building. Certainly no children. I'm walking a hall with Tom as cameras and various other equipment is set up down the hall. We move into a room and then into a small shower stall. There's some rumbling on this recording as I set down my equipment, but underneath that, there's something else. Something neither Tom nor I hear at the time, and something that the echo seems to indicate is crammed in there with us.
You heard that, right?
Tom decides to leave a few minutes later. It sounds like that room's resident a bit frustrated with his inability to hear the reply. Quiet, but on review, pretty clear.
Yeah, something told us to get out. At least, that's what it sounds like. And we did, not long after, but we did record an awful lot of stuff at St. John's. And there were just some weird, unexplainable happenings there, too. It all added up to a pretty eventful evening, and we had another pretty eventful evening last year when we headed up the road to Marysville. A lot of history up there in that little town, and also in that little town, a lot of ghost stories. The first stop, the Red House. There are stories told in town about this house. Strange things have happened here. An apparition of a woman gliding across a room, a stereo blasting on in the middle of the night, the most terrifying
A resident waking to an unseen force pressing him down into the couch, the sensation of hands gripping his forearms. The red house is unassuming from the street. It's a small two-story structure. It's not habitable now. In one of the front rooms, a portion of the ceiling being pulled by water damage and gravity toward the floor. The floor in the kitchen so weak, we're advised to avoid that room entirely. It's the lone room upstairs that winds up being the focus of our time. The slanted ceiling helping to make that room feel close, though not quite claustrophobic. Medium Michael Sweet starts asking questions. Why are you here? Are you alone? That one, upon review of the evidence, gets an answer. In fact, a couple of them. Here's the recording. The only thing altered here is the sound level after Michael's question and then some removal of background noise.
Are you the only one in this house?
So listen again. There's an immediate, confident response here, and it sure sounds like three, maybe even four, distinct whispering voices. They all say no.
Are you the only one in this house?
When investigator Tom Poliant Jr. asks for a name, there's a sound of some kind, a noise on my recording, and it's followed quickly by a click.
Can you tell us your name?
Paranormal researchers say that there are often sounds heard almost immediately before or after an occurrence of an EVP. The way they sound differs, but they tend to be within tenths of a second of the word or phrase and sound like a pop or a click. It's a bit, they say, like the squelch you hear as the push-to-talk button is pressed on a portable radio. So listen again. There's the sound, and then that click.
Can you tell us your name?
There's something there, but what? I don't know. Now famous for its T-bones and friendly service, the Marysville House began life in Silver City as a station on the Great Northern Railway. The train would stop daily in the late 1800s on its way from Helena to Great Falls and then Fort Benton. The building eventually sat vacant when the train stopped running until it was moved to Marysville in 1975. It sits there still, but when Rick O'Connell moved the old depot, he may have transported more than just the building.
There were candles. They had real candles that just went flying off the tables. And what I heard was a lot of people, some people just go, ooh, that's cool. Other people went, oh, we're out of here. That's freaky.
Chris Boyles, a smiling, friendly bartender, has quite a story to tell.
And there's another guy over there. And all of a sudden, the bottles just jump off the top of the top of the shelf and go over and land on the ground. There's no way it could have just fell off, because it would have had to hit the bottle in front of it to fall off. It came up and over and landed on the ground.
There was a customer that was just like wide-eyed, did you see that? Another employee was in the back. She saw it and Chris saw it. And the customer saw it.
Another time, I had my back to the bar and a bottle of tequila came over the top and fell right behind me. It came up and it levitated off the thing and bounced. As soon as it came up over the top, it just dropped to the ground.
I'm the only one in the building right now to have heard that story. So I join in the series of questions and ask about the incident, trying to keep it vague enough as to not fully tip off anyone else to what happened. First, the question.
Do you move things on tables, maybe behind the bar? Were you moving something?
I follow up with another question. There's a reply from a raspy, admittedly a little intimidating, unseen force.
How many times did you move things with Chris here?
I think that says, I didn't see it but once. What is that? I don't know, but I don't want to drink alone at the Marysville House. Now we've recapped a big team investigation at St. John's First, old hospital, dark hallways, unexplained noises aplenty. And you heard the results of another large-scale ghost hunt in Marysville last year, where we checked out an old house, a cemetery, and a bar where you can seemingly not only get a phenomenal steak, but also a potentially phenomenal scare. But those were, in some ways, they were obvious locations, right? An old former hospital, a Montana ghost town. Bound to be something there, if, of course, you believe in that sort of thing. So what if we narrow our focus, take this down to the ground level, so to speak? We'll strip away most of the gadgets, even most of the people, and spend some time hanging out in someone's house. An old house with history, sure, but a house. Tucked away in one of Helena's historic neighborhoods, sitting there looking no more haunted or menacing than the home next to it or the one across the street. What happens there when no one's listening? Decided to find out. So I got in touch with Tom Poliad. He's been the only other one to have been there with us the last 2 years, so it felt right to bring him in once again. As it turns out, Tom's place has a bit of a history of bumps, thumps, and footsteps upstairs when nobody's there. So not too many weeks ago, he and I sat down in his small, cozy living room, digital recorders running, and, well, we had a chat. Before we even really got going, it seems we were recording something. Tom was telling me that a short time ago his place was actually broken into. So before I'd gotten there, he tried asking his unseen roomies if they could give him the name of the culprit. Well, here he is playing that tape for me. On the tape, it sounds like there's a quick whisper of a reply. You can't actually hear it on my recording that we're going to play here, but that's not what we're actually listening for. Because as he's playing it for me, there's something else. Here, take a listen.
He's coming. Greg. That was it. I have my headphones. You can hear it.
Well, no, that wasn't it. You can't actually hear what Tom was talking about here, as I said, but there's a sound, a voice, something besides that. It repeats itself. Neither of us heard anything. So Tom gets up to leave the room and go get a pair of headphones. He's in the back, in his bedroom. That same sound, same voice, it happens again, and again, comes in pair. I don't know. Weird. But just a few minutes later, Tom's telling me about how he was really angry about the whole situation and decided that was unhealthy. So he decided that he didn't want to see any potential video that was recorded by the landlord's security camera. He just wanted to try and let this go. So as he's telling me about that, you can hear another voice come in and talk underneath him. There's a whisper. It starts in the gap between words and then finishes as he's talking. It's a bit tough to hear just because it's not isolated and in silence, so it's kind of frustrating. But that kind of crosstalk happens multiple times throughout the night, in fact. Here it is.
Got a photo out there. See what I wrote on the net? See what I wrote? I posted.
Here's just that quick whisper again.
See what I wrote? See what I wrote?
That same conversation. He's telling me how the landlord informed him that while the cameras were running, for some reason they weren't recording. It's kind of a goofy technological glitch, and I respond to him saying, that's pretty wild. Well, in the beat before I say it, kind of sounds like something else beats me to the punch.
Running, but they're not recording. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Needs to be reset or whatever.
Yeah.
My ears hear a quickly whispered, that's pretty wild. And then while I say the same thing, again, it's weird, right? Here's another example of that crosstalk from before. This time, actually, it isn't even a whisper. It's really loud, but it's right underneath me talking as I tell Tom about the idea of scaling back an investigation to get into a home this year instead. I really can't tell what it says, but there's certainly something that seems to, however briefly, interrupt me, and it wasn't Tom.
Like, here it is. We heard it too. You know, and it's almost like then you can... We heard it too. We heard it too.
Okay, I did promise bumps in the night, right? So Tom and I are later talking again, taking a break, just kind of catching up. I'm sitting in one chair, him in another, in his living room. As we talk, there's a quick thump thump. It's a sound that came from his entryway. We can see the entryway, and there's nothing there. As he's kind of remarking about that, another sound comes in that, again, we both heard loud and clear.
But, yeah, we're going to have a talk about what happened. Hear that? Yeah. Something thump thump. Usually you don't hear something right there. That was weird again.
There's like a squeaky hinge?
Like a squeak, yes, that was definitely
but a squeak. But it was over...
It did. It sounded like a squeak of a hinge, but of course there's nothing in the living room that was moving or could have even made that noise. It was a noise that honestly sounded as if it came from right next to me.
Usually you don't hear something right there.
So, yeah, strange experience hearing things on a recording that you didn't hear at the time, but entirely different to hear it in the moment, a sound that comes from nowhere right next to you, no rhyme, no reason, no explanation. As we're finishing up, Tom does show me a pair of clown dolls that he's had for some time. Visitors to his place have told him they kind of give off a strange vibe, and they're right. There's something that seems a little different. So as he walks past them, he throws a quick hello in their direction to, it kind of sounds like, get a pair of whispered responses.
Hey ladies,
Did they just say hi? I don't know, that's for you to decide, but... So the cherry on top of it all, historical records do show that a businessman named Ole used to live at Tom's address. He had a wife, two kids, and may have even built the place. He did at least do some handyman kind of upgrades. Tom believes Ole to be the source of many of the sounds he hears. Sounds that it should be noted, at least one upstairs neighbor confirmed to me that he too had heard. It makes sense then to ask if Ole wants to say something, right? So Tom asks, and maybe, just maybe there's a reply here.
Come on, Ole.
Quiet, but is that a hello? So that was our night. Bumps, squeaks, and unheard interruptions. It was interesting, our acoustic ghost hunting set. And it wasn't entirely without results. So what's hanging out in your house that you don't see? Maybe run a recorder sometime. You just might find out.
Stick around. More Coffee Break coming up after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Now, back to our show. Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break, and thank you for joining us on our special Halloween episode this morning. And we opened up with ghosts. We're finishing out with the Helena Police Department. It fits, right? I don't know. We're still talking Halloween. Berkeley Conrad is here this morning alongside. It's Megan Delorier.
Yep.
Nailed it. How are you guys doing this morning?
Great, Troy. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking Halloween this morning. We've just aired our overnight investigation story, so now we're talking trick-or-treating. Specifically, we're talking safety here. So I guess let's start with the adults. I mean, I guess step one, just making sure your door, your sidewalk, all that stuff, you're ready for the kids to be showing up.
Absolutely. Just making sure you have a safe place for kids to come by, a clear walkway, well lit, and just keeping basic safety things in mind.
Right. And that your candy bowl is full and you've got your backup bag.
Exactly.
Right. You got to go with the basics. What else should we as adults be doing to just sort of make sure everything is safe for the kids out there tonight?
I would say of utmost importance is driver safety, making sure that while you're in your car, you're aware of all the little guys running around and in excitement. And definitely if you're going out to a fun Halloween party or something like that, make sure you have a plan and have a sober driver or our backup in mind, so we don't want any accidents.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I guess for anybody driving, just assume that somebody dressed all in black is right about to dart in front of you at any time, right? I mean, that's just sort of the mindset you have to have while you're driving around today.
Absolutely. Just really keep your eyes peeled and know your surroundings.
Well, it's not just tonight, as we were talking there during the break. I mean, stuff's happening around town all day long. So, like Berkeley, you're saying even the police department's even getting in on this thing downtown, right?
Yeah, we're going to be handing out candy from 1 to 4 o'clock, along with all the businesses downtown. But we're definitely a stop we'd like everybody to make and come say hi and check out our new building and get some Halloween candy.
Yeah, so that's going downtown today from 1 to 4. I know we had Larry Westfall on the other day. The Legion's got trunk or treat going on down there. There's stuff. I think our neighbors over at KMTX on their Facebook page, actually. I'll see if we can find that list. They put that on their Facebook page of all the things that are going on. We'll post that on ours as well. But things going on all across town today. So even at lunchtime, just be careful because there could be some little ghost or goblin running across the road.
Absolutely. It's going to be a very busy day in town. There's, like you said, tons of things going on. There's also a list of places to be, I believe, on the Downtown Helena Facebook page as well as the Helena Police Department Facebook page. So
okay.
Just keep your eyes open and be super aware.
Yeah. So when it comes to the candy collecting, the kids, what are some of the best practices there? I mean, what do we have to, you know, as parents annoy them by telling them before they leave tonight, okay, here's your checklist.
Bright clothing. Even if you've got a dark costume on, make sure you're wearing some sort of reflective something, whether it's reflective tape or, you know, a bright bag, anything like that.
Are you talking about the candy? Because you're supposed to take, I think, 25% of whatever you're...
Yeah, there's a cut. Yeah, no, there's a cut.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
No, but that's just understood.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and what else? I mean, what? Go together, right? We should be going in groups?
Yep. Make sure that you're going in groups. Even the older kids need to be in groups. And go to areas that you're pretty familiar with. Don't go into people's houses that you don't know. Just be safe. Be like adults. Be aware of your surroundings.
Well, and I suppose, yeah, don't go into houses. Don't go into, of course, vehicles. Don't go. I mean, it's common sense stuff, but it's also stuff that's worth talking about.
Absolutely. And, you know, little kids, they'll, you know, you get excited. And
right.
Just knowing where they should and shouldn't be around town is a big one. And it's always encouraged to go out and trick-or-treat as much as you can during the daylight hours and that's why there are so many really cool activities happening throughout the day.
Yeah, but if you are going out there when it's dark, of course, like you said, but at least have some reflective tape, have something to give those drivers a chance to see you. Probably have a flashlight too as well, right? I mean, that's not gonna hurt.
Absolutely not. Also, just make sure the kids know, you know, to look both ways. I mean, obvious things that sometimes get forgotten. Don't dart out in the street. Just make sure you're looking in between vehicles. Don't be too quick when crossing streets. Don't go through, you know, people's backyards.
Right. But it's a shortcut, Megan. It's a shortcut. Got to get to that house that has the full-size candy bars over there. We've got in the studio this morning on Coffee Break, Berkeley Conrad and Megan DeLaurier with the Helena Police Department. We're talking Halloween, trick-or-treating safety. And, you know, I've got to ask, I've got you guys here. When we were kids' parents, you know, I think we went through a little phase where they were positive that we had in our bags of candy bars stuffed with razor blades and needles. Did that happen? You've been through the academy. Come on.
I'm not aware of anything, but it's always a really good idea to check your kid's candy or your candy. Let's face it. Adults want to go trick-or-treating too, I guess. Check for unmarked, homemade, open wrappers. Anything that looks suspicious, get rid of it.
Right.
Better safe than sorry.
So you guys kind of just avoided that. Berkeley, you didn't say anything.
I bring that Shocker. Candy to you, Troy. I'll let you look through it and see what you think.
I will inspect. I will give it a once over before it's given in. You know what? My daughter actually, she brought home pounds of candy last year. She had like a pillowcase size full, and then she eats like one piece a week. Like she.
So you're ready for tonight.
She hoards it. But the good thing is that means we can go in and snag a few here and there. She never knows that it's missing.
Mm-hmm. Most disciplined
She's
child of all time.
Probably got Halloween candy from last year still in her room somewhere. So it works out well for my wife and I. But and there are – I mean, there are real-world concerns here, right? I mean, this is a fun night, but kids have to be safe. Something parents should probably do is know where their kids are going, right? Kind of have – at least an idea. It's sort of like if you're going out hunting, let somebody know where you're going. Same general idea, right?
Absolutely. It's never a bad idea to have a specific mapped out plan and a time frame for when they should be out, you know, a specific time and place for them to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and for the kids out there, it's not a bad idea to have a map anyway. We're talking just logistically. If you want to collect as much candy as you can, you go in with a plan so you're not aimlessly wandering. You know where to go. You know the neighborhoods. So have that all mapped out, and parents need to know where they're going, and really probably know the neighborhood, right? Don't go into some place where you haven't been.
Exactly. Just, yeah, again.
If it doesn't look inviting, it's probably not a good idea to go to that house. If it's dark and nobody's home, it's not inviting. That'd probably be a house just to skip.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I suppose when we're talking skipping houses too, we've got a couple minutes left. When we're talking real world concerns, you can get online. Parents can get online and check out the sexual or violent offender registry. That's something that's probably a good idea as well, right? I mean, just so that you know where your kids are at, where to avoid.
Yep, that's a good one to know. Just in
yeah, I mean, not even necessarily just tonight.
Too, yeah, so. Good resource to use, especially for nights like tonight.
Yeah, because that is tracked. That is a resource online. And that's something that you and law enforcement use just throughout the year as well, right?
Yeah, it's public access. It's public information even to us. And yeah, we'll definitely use it during our investigation if need be, for sure.
Yeah. What else do we need to know, guys? We've got like a minute and a half left. What didn't I ask?
I think
Megan?
It's important to know that Megan's petrified of clowns and spiders. Right. The last hour we
to the world we go with that
there
one.
You
thank
go.
You there, Sarge.
You guys hear that? You hear that squeak? Yeah.
So if someone were to next year dress up as a spider clown,
I'd lose my mind.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks
I'd probably
like.
Probably
be
in the hospital. It'd be a protective custody situation.
Especially if the clowns talk. That's above it.
Yeah. Glad to know that's
all
what
sorts
you
of good information about Megan this morning. That's fantastic, Megan. What do we need to know about either Halloween or about the Sarge here?
Oh man, I needed.
You've got an open mic in like a minute, so
he's also, you know, my supervisor. So I got to be careful on that one. Plus,
I think
he didn't give me
back around to everything's happening really quick today. Everybody's super excited. Get back in the moment if you're driving down the roads. Don't be thinking about tonight. Think about what's happening right now in front of you and drive safely. We ask the trick-or-treaters to be safe, but we need drivers to also be having their head on a swivel and slowing down and being in the moment and being safe.
Also, you know, while we're talking about all the serious stuff, just really enjoy it and have a ton of fun while you're thinking about the serious stuff. But
yeah, have fun, but especially as drivers, be where you are. Don't be floating around out there thinking about something else. Watch out for those kids out there tonight because they're going to be hopped up on sugar and excited about getting hopped up on sugar, and that's their focus tonight. So our focus has to be on them and on keeping them safe. Guys, thanks for coming in this morning. I appreciate
it. Troy.
Thank you very much.
That's all the time we have for Coffee Break. Catch you again tomorrow. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.